This is my first thought. It's about responsibility. When I was asked to contribute to this, I was filled with fear. I have trouble speaking up, and arguing about something I care about often gives me what a friend of mine called a vulnerability hangover, and it's something I struggle with a lot. But as an artist, I think I have a responsibility to speak up more often, and not just on stage in front of an audience. So, here goes. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I attended a meeting with other theater and dance makers, all of us working together to have a space built for our work. And when we started meeting about this 4 years ago, we were allowed to dream about our perfect building in our minds, of course. And now, 4 years later, we have to decide what we really need in our building and what we can actually leave out and compromise on. I find it kind of sad and depressing, and I wish we could be more idealistic about the project, even when experts are telling us that we need to be more reasonable and more realistic. I went to the beach this morning with my partner and my kid, and now as I'm recording this, I can hear bagpipes coming from somewhere. Both reminded me of when we began work on Pop-Up Love Party. One of our tasks was to create a joyful experience for the others in the group. And so I took the others to the beach where we ate fresh valley strawberries. And then on the ride home, we listened to Mull of Kintyre by Paul McCartney at full blast. And then we thought it would be really awesome if we had a big pipe band come in at the end of our show. I really, really hope that happens. Thinking about love. When I was young, I was worried about hell and what it was and where it was, and my mom explained to me that her take was that hell was the absence of goodness. I found this explanation comforting and understandable. And now when I think about love, I think in a similar way that I could say that love is the absence of fear. It's always there, and the other, the fear and all the things that go along with that, have to be removed in order to feel or see or hear the love. Here's a pregnancy hormone-induced, not that original thought for you. I want my child to grow up to be confident and brave, adventurous, curious, feisty, funny, fearless, critical, questioning. But I would also really love it if she would go to bed when I ask her to and to eat some supper every once in a while. When most of what I do and how I live is filled with uncertainty and vulnerability, filled with thoughts and questions like, does this show actually work? Am I any good on stage? Will someone on a jury like this show and champion it to others? Faced with all that uncertainty, the certainty and infallibility of reconciling a bank account with the books can feel like real, true goodness. I love accounting. I taught yoga on the weekend, and while we were doing the tree pose, which is a balancing pose, I had this thought that one day I'll practice tree pose and it's super stable and strong and I feel like I could stay in forever, and then the next day I'll try it and I won't be able to stand in it for a second and I'm wobbling the whole time and falling out and trying again and falling out. And it's just like making a show. One day feels great. I've got lots of ideas of figuring out moments of feeling strong about the writing. And the next day can be just totally awful and the opposite of the day before. I went to the family show at Shakespeare by the Sea with my partner and our little girl at Point Pleasant Park the other day. And we were leaving the park and we were walking behind what I assumed was a father and two sons that looked about 7 or 8 or 9 years old. And the boys were really excited by the show and asked the man if they could go see the other shows by the company, which happened to be Shakespeare shows. And the man said, no, you'll be bored to tears. And that was the end of it. And I felt so sad for them and for the man and for myself because I didn't feel confident enough to challenge his assumptions about his kids and about the plays. When I start to dream about a new show that we might be making at Zupa or something that I'd like to create one day on my own, I get images in my head about what the show will actually look like and who will see it. The audience plays a huge part in my initial imaginings of the theater. who they are, what they will like, what will bore them, what they'll respond to, what they won't respond to. But the audience is there from the very beginning for me. I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know if other people think that way, but maybe they do. I just haven't talked to them about it. So I'm thinking about food and theater because of our new show, Pop-Up Love Party. And I've been reading this book called Cooked by Michael Pollan. And in it, he discusses the cooking of meat as a collective task that demands collaboration. He writes, "The cook fire itself draws people close together and introduces the unprecedented social and political complexity of the shared meal, which demands an unprecedented degree of self-control, patience while the meat is cooking, and cooperation when it is ready to be divided." Sounds a lot like theater to me. Still thinking about food and theater, Ferran Adrià of the now-closed restaurant El Bui in Spain talks about how food should appeal to all six senses, the sixth sense being the intellect, which is an idea that I love. I think that this is the same with theater. It would almost seems easy, though, if we combine food and theater to try to appeal to all six senses, though it's probably not actually that easy. What would be more of a challenge would be to make a performance that an audience can taste and smell and touch without using food. Here's some questions. A local activist was on the radio talking about what it means to be offended or to offend, and it made me think again about the question of speaking critically about work being made, especially if it's coming from artists from a marginalized community. So here are my questions. How do we criticize? Should we only criticize work from our own communities, or is there a way to criticize with context? If I make a show with another woman about a woman, and since women are way up underrepresented on stages in Canada, do I get criticized differently or maybe less harshly because I'm a woman? Do I appreciate that? I want to do a project where a group of established women in the theater in Halifax mentor a group of emerging women in the theater in Halifax. My idea is that there would be a mentor for each role in a theater company, director, actors, writer, designers, producer, and that we would work in a way that did not necessarily follow a pattern of existing patriarchal forms of creating work. I need to do a lot more thinking about it, but it's an exciting idea. In light of the many disasters and atrocities happening in the world right now, Gaza, Iraq, Ukraine, West Africa, even here in Nova Scotia where there are fracking consultations going on right now by our government, I feel like my acting needs to be elsewhere. I need to jump into action and raise my little voice and do something or say something about all of these things. And I feel like I get to this place often, but I just don't know how to get past it and actually do something. So this is my final thought for this residency. Mostly I'm thinking about gratitude and how that's not really a thought but a feeling. I'm grateful to have been asked to share my thoughts. I'm grateful I said yes. I was pretty scared and felt very vulnerable. But mostly I'm grateful that I am in a place in my life and my life is positioned in the world in such a way that I actually have time to sit and think and feel safe enough to share my thoughts. So that's a good realization. So thanks, and see you later.